The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and we are awaiting your phone calls. You're going to run the show this morning. I have no special guest as of yet, and we're just going to roll with the callers. Good morning, Chuck. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Alan. I'm fine.
Good. Good. I heard you didn't miss a lot in Indiana this year.
Oh, really?
That's what I was told a couple times by a couple people from different aspects. One retailer and one person involved in the industry. So
I haven't talked to anybody from PCBA yet. So
right,
I'll see them this week. So
sure,
I'll find out there.
Yeah, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
So well, I'm heading down to Alabama. On Tuesday, noon drive down.
Right. And you didn't see that that big buck out there, huh?
No, haven't seen that in the daytime yet. So it looks like he's going to survive another year.
Hmm. Well, there's always the end of the season for bow, you know.
Well, I'm going to be most of the next week, you know, to
getting down to Alabama.
Alabama because I'm not leaving to come home till next Monday.
Yeah, sure.
So. But it's going to be like a fall hunt because it'll be in the 70s.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. so it'd be interesting. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, it sounds good. So did you get to hunt this week at all?
No, not really. I took my wife to meet a girlfriend. They drove down to Florida. They left on their cruise yesterday.
Ah, I see.
And then when I got home from taking my wife, I ended up with a slight touch of the flu for a couple of days.
Oh no, that's not good.
So, couple of days of just sleeping.
Yeah,
today's the best day I have felt all week.
Wow, gotcha. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, I'm glad I got that out of me before I start to drive down.
Oh, absolutely. Goodness gracious, that's for sure. So. Very nice.
I'll probably give you a call next Saturday from the hunt.
From the hunt, that would be perfect. I'd love to hear from you on that deal.
Yeah, so. And I'll be down with Dirk. He's the host hosting the hunt.
Okay.
And then John Broad's also going to be there. He's not hunting. He'll be just attends a lot of the hunts. He doesn't necessarily hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So
got it.
So,
okay. Very cool. Very cool.
And hey, Blaze and Camo Day is coming pretty soon.
Blaze and Camo Day. I'm glad you mentioned that. February 9th. That's a Thursday. We meet at the, what is that, the Naval Stadium parking lot there across from the DNR building. And you can catch a shuttle. It's a couple bucks to catch a shuttle and go down to Lawyers Mall. And we'll assemble there, and we'll meet and greet lawmakers as they go back and forth between buildings and meetings. And it's always been successful. We've always had great conversations, and it's fun to pass out our orange caps to the lawmakers. And, you know, they enjoy it, and we do, too. So
yeah, a lot of them come by just because we're going out hats.
Just to get a free hat, yeah. So that's what they do. But we were looking forward to that, and we don't know. Hopefully, the governor will stop by this year like he did last year. That was quite a surprise and a treat that the governor stopped by, and we were able to talk to him one on one about the Poaching Restitution
right.
Act and some other stuff. So
right. he surely energized the group, the meeting.
He did. He certainly did. And you know, Senator Astle was there. Senator Astle was the chairman of the Legislative Sportsman's Caucus, which the Maryland Hunting Coalition is affiliate of that group. We are the only hunting group with standing in Annapolis now. That's pretty important for the listeners and the folks that are members to realize that, we work hand in hand with the pro-hunting, pro-fishing caucus of legislators that are across party lines, R's and D's and senators and delegates. And, it's a good bunch of guys that we have to work with. Some of them are on key positions in committees. Some of them, will fight for us, more than others. But they're always willing to listen to what we have to say. And then, we're going to have, I'm sure, some legislative challenges coming up this year. We've got a few bills in, nothing earth-shattering right now, but just wait. The Maryland Horse Council has promised that they're going to try to repeal all Sunday hunting again and get their way to end all, firearm Sunday hunting days and muzzleloader days at 10 o'clock in the morning. So we're going to have to fight that. So...
They'll be up to something.
Always. We got a hat sponsor, by the way.
I did?
Yep, just so you know.
Your request.
Yep. Mechanical Contractors, George Nitzel and Son and Company.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, so we got that news yesterday, so that's pretty cool. Yeah. But keep your eye on Facebook, keep your eye on the website, and we'll do what we got to do. So
that's right. Always do.
You got it. So hey look, Bill Miles just called in. He's on the other line. Keep listening.
Hi, Bill, and I'll talk to you later.
You got it, buddy. Thanks.
All right, bye.
See ya. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you, Bill?
On my way to the shore, Alan.
Going to go bang away at some geese today, are you?
Well, I'm going to try.
I know that's one of your passions. Goose and duck hunting is your passion, for sure.
Waterfowl is my passion. That's exactly right.
Yep, I got it. Bill Miles, ladies and gentlemen, advocate for the Maryland Hunting Coalition. He's on his way to the Eastern Shore to, I guess, Talbot County. Are you Talbot or Dorchester? You're Talbot.
No, our reach is in Talbot, but I'm leaving here. I'm still in Talbot County.
Yes. Yeah, well, you're leaving your home now. I got that. So.
Yeah, yep.
But a lot of goose hunters out there in the field, and, we don't have tremendous amount of legislation that's been introduced just yet when it comes to hunting, but Chuck was on the other line, and Chuck is he's the Maryland representative for the Physically Challenged Bowhunters of America. You know who I'm talking
good
about.
Good man.
Hey, comes to every hearing. He's a great guy. And Chuck is going to Alabama to deer hunt next weekend. But, he got selected for a special hunt down there. So, he brought up Blazing Camo Day, which is our next item of business. So.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking forward to that. The folks can meet with us in Annapolis. You can go to the website and download the flyer if you want. We'll talk about that, for the next few weeks to get that started. And
great event, Alan. It's a great event.
Yeah, I mean, we get to meet with lawmakers, and that you get to do your face-to-face time with those folks. I mean, but when they see that crowd of blaze orange hats and camouflage, they've got to recognize that the hunting community is well represented in the halls of Annapolis.
Well, that's true. It's the only day of the session where yours truly doesn't have to wear a suit. I can actually wear my field attire.
Exactly.
Kind of nice.
Yep, exactly. So... But, we have a good time. We dress in camo. We hand out commemorative hats every year. This is our third year, and Chuck said he thinks that some of the lawmakers actually look forward to it to come down and get their free hat.
There's no question, Alan.
You know,
what you'll see is in my travels in the hallways during the session, a lot of times I'll go into offices to talk to lawmakers. There will be the hat, and I'll point to it and say, man, I look forward to that every year.
Yes, they do.
And, for the hat.
And the brief amount of time I've been with you in those offices, I have seen a number of those hats sitting on the shelf proudly displayed, you know. So it's very gratifying to see that that the General Assembly recognizes the Hunting Coalition and just you know, the work that we've done in the past couple of years. I just discussed it earlier. A press release came out this week about a couple of deer poaching cases. And on the social media side of it, when you can comment at the end of the the press release, somebody asked the question, what happened to the Poaching Restitution Act? And the moderator answered that the law went into effect on January 2nd, and they may be required to pay restitution.
Shameful, shameful.
Is that what you think? I did, too. I thought it was
shameful.
The law went into effect June 1st of 2016.
Yeah, the big difference between June and July and January. For
yeah, and the regulations were promulgated and made official on January 2nd, but that had nothing to do with the law going into effect. And then the May part is what got me. This law mandates that the court impose these penalties and restitution to the
based
state.
Based upon a conviction. So
exactly.
Essence,
based
the court can still find the accused innocent and escape any time a punitive action under existing law,
exactly,
the Poaching Restitution Act. But if convicted of deer poaching based upon that Boone and Crockett scoring system,
yes,
exactly right, Alan, there's mandated restitution.
Yes.
Plus,
a guilty plea ahead of trial is still guilty and still subject
exactly.
to the penalty.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, Bill, you and I have to get that straight. So when, you know, especially when these press releases go out to all the public and the press and everything else, we've got to get this squared away. So,
well, it's one of the things we do for the hunting community and others that nobody realizes. I mean, you have a bureaucracy that, if you don't watch every move they make, they sometimes do things that aren't consistent with the law.
Right.
So I would argue that this bill, that they should be all over, public disclosure of the Poaching Restitution Act, because it's designed to elicit bad behavior amongst guys in the field doing bad things.
Exactly. And the beauty of this restitution is that those penalties go back to the Wildlife Conservation Fund, not to what's it called, Bill? The name
it's
of the fund?
It's called the State Wildlife Management and Protection Fund.
Management, okay.
It's used 100% for the, if you read the statute, scientific propagation,
right. In other words, it doesn't go into the black hole called the general fund.
No. And those monies that go into that fund are lockbox.
Right.
I mean, no budget committee of the General Assembly can divert monies from that fund to the general fund for budget balancing purposes.
That's good. That's a good thing. And that was craftily designed by our advocate when the bill was put into effect. So
some might say that. Thank you, Alan.
I just said it, Bill.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that was one of the selling points, Alan.
Well, of course.
Where's the money going to go?
Of course. Yeah.
I'm going to stay within DNR to do what's right for wildlife management.
Exactly.
And that's exactly where it should be. So that helped to even get it out of committee, because the committees know that a lot of funds are raided each year for budget balancing purposes, and they know that this one can't be.
Right.
By statute, it could not be diverted.
Exactly right. Let's talk about potential here for the upcoming General Assembly.
Uh-huh.
Montgomery County Council, the County Council, had a meeting a couple of weeks ago to hear a couple of proposals on Sunday hunting. Increase Sunday hunting opportunities in Montgomery County, reduce the safety zone for bow hunters and that type of thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Maryland Horse Council presented a letter strong argument against increasing Sunday hunting opportunities, and then also revealed their strategy for 2017, which is to reintroduce what was Senate Bill 1061 last year. We called it the 1030 bill. They want to reintroduce legislation that repeals all the current bills, all the current laws across the state regarding Sunday hunting, put into place their own statute that gives DNR authority to set the Sunday hunting days for anything, anywhere, in every county, and then end all the muzzle loading days and all the firearms Sundays that are already enacted in law, end those days at 10 o'clock in the morning. Am I saying that correctly, Bill?
It's 10:30, Alan.
Well, 10:30 either way,
yeah,
but you know.
That will be vehemently opposed by
the
Hunting Coalition on behalf of the hunting community.
Yep.
But keep in mind, Alan, and maybe your listeners don't realize this, but you have 188 lawmakers, 47 senators, 141 delegates. Probably, and I may be inflating the number. You probably have only about 5%. Maybe 10% of those lawmakers who hunt and fish.
Yeah.
So what do they care?
Exactly.
Really, what do they care? We are the last line of the coalition is the last line of defense against these punitive measures against hunting, and they have a very receptive audience to the urban mindset that reigns in Annapolis.
And that urban mindset is always driven by delegates and senators from Baltimore County, Baltimore City, Prince George's County, and Montgomery County, the urban centers of Maryland, the suburbia of Baltimore and Washington, the two biggest municipalities. And, you know, let's face it, the Humane Society of the United States has its headquarters in Montgomery County. Very many animal activists in that county.
Yeah, an organization whose national mantra is to end hunting one state at a time, and it's in Maryland's backyard, headquartered
exactly.
in Montgomery County. So
yep.
they love to come to Annapolis and try to undermine what we have on the books or what we're trying to do on the books.
Well, of course. And I think we're going to see a challenge from them on bow fishing for cow nose rays in the bay. That's not a tremendously popular thing to do. There are a couple tournaments, but it looks like they're going to move against those tournaments.
Well, there's some social media out there that I haven't seen, but I've heard about. And evidently they've depicted some of these tournaments in a negative way. It was no different than their normal tactic, like when we had Sunday hunting debate. You know, they show some very despicable, horrible pictures.
Right.
All of which are what part of hunting is. It's no different than, has anybody ever seen what a processed chicken or a pig or a cow? I mean, you know, you don't show that when you go
right.
to the meat counter or Giant or Safeway.
Right.
But they've depicted, they're out there saying how inhumane these tournaments are. Well, the problem is, you know, it may be to the anti-hunting, anti-fishing eye,
right?
But there are millions and millions of these things out there in the bay that feed off shellfish.
Exactly.
And the DNR has yet to develop a fishery management plan, which is nothing more than a blueprint on how to biologically manage the species. And so we allow HSUS to come down there and start, picking away. And what right now, what we do is anglers and hunters, albeit not everybody participates. It's just, you know, they'll just keep on exploiting. So all we're going to say on this one is, Alan, look, let's give DNR the authority to manage a species with a fishery management plan before we do anything. And maybe they'll come back and, you know,
well, I mean,
limits on the tournaments and caps on the tournaments, you know, whatever.
That's one of the foundations. That's one of the foundations of the Maryland Hunting Coalition is that we make sure that wildlife management is based on, you know, science, not on, you know, not at the whim of some politician or not on some emotional argument. You know, you've got to have your data in line. You've got to have your biological data in line.
We are the last line of defense.
Again, yes,
you're right. Maryland.
Exactly right. And here it is. It's a fish. It's not even anything that we necessarily deal with, but because we bow fish for them, you know, people can go on our website, mdhuntingcoalition.org. There's a lot of stuff there. Blazing Camo Day, the joint statement with the Maryland Bow Hunters Society and the Maryland Hunting Coalition, the letter to the folks in DNR about the cow nose raise. And, we've got their attention, and that's what you have to do, is get the attention of not only the lawmakers but the bureaucracy and the wildlife managers to even make a difference. You know, if you sit back and don't do anything, they'll do what they want. And
well, there's two sayings, Alan. One is the rules are made by those who show up,
right?
And the other one is nothing gets accomplished unless you have a maniac with a mission,
right?
And I would say the coalition serves both roles, but we do it in a defensible, reasonable, rational way. We don't go down there and hold signs up.
Right.
That, you know, all hunters, all Democrats hate hunters.
Right.
You know, we don't go down, we go down there and get the job done and work, you know, face to face with these lawmakers.
Yep.
Because one thing about the General Assembly, they give it and they take it away.
That's true.
And you have to know how to deal with the General Assembly. And they're good people for the most part, and they're willing to listen. But if they don't hear from you, then they're going to listen to those who do.
Exactly. Exactly right. Yep. The rules are made by those who show up. Exactly right. Mr. Bill, I will let you go. We have got to take a commercial break. One more thing. Our fundraiser, our only fundraiser of the year, is March 25th from noon to 4 at Martin's in Westminster. We hope you're going to be there this year with a table full of folks, as you were last year. Your family was invaluable as far as the mechanics of that thing. We hope you're going to be there with us again this year. We look forward to a great time, great food, a lot of donations. A lot of auction items, and we always have some unique stuff and some pretty cool stuff that we raffle off or auction off or whatever we do. And it's 320 is a sellout, so we're looking at that. And I want you to enjoy your day today.
And I will be there. I look forward to it. My entire family looks forward to it. We may have to buy two tables this year, Alan. Which would not be a bad thing, but thank you so much. I look forward to talking with you again.
You got it, buddy.
Thanks, Alan.
All right, man. Whack 'em today, okay?
I'll try.
See you, Bill.
Bye, Alan.
Bye-bye. Well, folks, not a finer wing shot can be found in Maryland. I've watched this guy with ducks and geese. He's incredible. All right, it is time for us to take a break. It's time for me to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're gearing up for fishing season. Now, look, there's still some waterfowl guns available, the Browning A5 and the Maxis and, you know, the BPS pump. They're still selling those, the Gold 10-gauge, all great firearms from Browning. But they're getting ready to rock and roll with fishing because perch run's about to start. Trout season, you know, the trout are about to be stocked here in a month or so. And, they're getting ready. Are you ready? That's the question. Well, I'll tell you, I'm gonna step on their commercial here just for a second. If you're not doing anything, go to Frederick today, the fairgrounds. The Maryland Saltwater Sport Fishermen's Association is having, the Frederick chapter's having a nice little flea market and fishing show up there today. So make sure you go to that and tomorrow. Anyway, fishing season is getting rolling. And Clyde Sport Shop has everything you need. They can fix your rods and reels and put new line on, get your reel all lubed up and ready to go and reconditioned if you need it. You get a new rod, new reel, and all the lures and all the bait and all the tackle that you need. They've got it. Clyde Sports Shop. Clyde Sports is the website. They're open 7 days a week. And this year, 2017, is their 60th year. Clyde's. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blind, and the hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for your bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blinds website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500. gun owners, hunters, and shooters, Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom, easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing, 240-347-4906, above precision, beyond accurate. Hey, the Great American Outdoor Show, February 4th through the 12th in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the world's largest consumer outdoor show. It's a nine-day event celebrating hunting, fishing, and outdoor traditions. Exhibitors and events that span over 650,000 square feet with over 1,100 exhibitors. You'll find everything you need to enjoy the outdoors. Now look, the NRA Country Concert at the Great American Outdoor features Dustin Lynch and Granger Smith with special guest Tara Thompson. That's on Saturday, February 11th. The doors open at 6:30. For more details, for tickets on the world's largest outdoor show, be sure to visit greatamericanoutdoorshow.org. greatamericanoutdoorshow.org. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Start your day with Sean and Frank, Maryland's wake-up call. Weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Step right in. Come on in. If you'd like to take the grand tour of the lonely house that once was home, sweet home. I have nothing here to sell you, just some things that I will tell you. Some things I know will chill you to the bone.
A little George Jones downer music this morning. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680, WCBM 680. That's the call letters for the station that you're listening to, and 680 is the location on the dial. It's also our phone number, 410-922-6680. How about giving us a call this morning? Let's see. Oh, let's talk about last Saturday a little bit, a little bit. Told you we were taking Jacob hunting. I was taking Jacob hunting. So after the show, went and got him, and we drove to the Eastern Shore. Now, the weather was great till we got to, I don't know, Kent Narrows or something like that. Started seeing a little snow, 5301 split, got a little bet, a little worse, get into Easton. We go to Easton and pick up some stuff at Robin's house, had a little lunch there, and head to Dorchester County. Well, the roads in Easton to Cambridge were snow covered, and you know they were out trying to get them cleared up, and they were plowing it, but they were still very slippery, very, very slippery. So get into Cambridge, roads were fine. Get out of Cambridge, head towards Vienna, and the roads are bad again. So we get to Vienna and make our turn, go back to the marsh, and the road is plowed. Still snow covered, but plowed. So we make it through with no problems at all. Get in the stands about 2:30. Jacob decides that he's going to go to one stand. I'm going to go to another. Well, we got down there. The owner's daughter had shot a big doe off of the stand that I'd been sitting in all year. And that was my plan, to go in there and take that big doe, because I knew that it was a regular, you know, a regular visitor, and it shouldn't have been a big issue when the feeder went off, the doe showed up. Well, that doe was gone. So I went to the stand anyway, and I thought, you know, I'm going to sit here for a while. But I started getting this, you know, this feeling that, yeah. So I walked about 300 and some yards to the next stand over and got up in the stand. There were only five of us on the property on 400 acres, so there's a number of stands that we can select. So I walked to the next closest stand, and there's two feeders there, one close, which is a bow stand, and one about 70 yards. Well, I didn't hear the feeder at 70 yards go off. I heard the one go off at 20 yards. I watched it, as a matter of fact. Of course, the birds are all over it. The cardinals and the juncos and the bluebirds are all there. A few doves came in, but I don't know when that feeder at the end went off. I couldn't hear it at the 70-yard marker. I think it might have went off just as soon as the doe walked out. She was a big, giant doe, and I thought, boy, she's going to the feeder. I'm going to get ready here. I'll take a nice, steady shot. The doe walked out into the middle of the power line, is what it's a power line site. Now, we had 10 inches of snow and wind blowing sideways. So I'm in a nice, comfortable shooting house. I'm fine. I'm protected. But, you know, I got to be wary of the shot and the wind and that type of thing. So I'm just getting the deer lined up in the scope. She walked out. She ducked down. She looked over at the feeder, and I don't know if the feeder went off at that moment and spooked her, but she turned and ran back through the woods as hard as she could go, and I never got a shot. And I thought, well, you know, she'll be back. Well, guess what? She never showed back up. So Jacob, I can only shoot a doe because I tagged a stag in firearm season early on. Jacob is in another stand. He's got no deer. One of the other guys saw, I think, two does. So I'm sitting there, and it's, you know, we had to 5:25 was the end of legal shooting time. I'm sitting there at 5 o'clock, and I see a deer coming, and I get ready because this deer's not moving as fast, doesn't seem to be spooked. And I put the binoculars up, and this deer's at 50 yards, and it's a 5-point stag, maybe a 6. And I can't shoot it, and I'm not going to shoot it. I'm not going to shoot it so Jacob could tag it or anybody else. I don't do that. We don't do that. It's just the right thing to do. I wouldn't do it anyway. It's not in my nature to do that. So I watched the stag, you know, walk across the power line, and into the woods he went. It was great. I took a picture of him and everything else. So about 5:20, still plenty of light because there's all this snow and the sky is high and bright. I look over in the woods and I see the back end of a deer at 50 yards. And I thought, here we go. Just step out from behind that tree. Let me see what you are. and we'll have meat in the freezer. What did that deer do? Never stepped out from behind the tree. Started to, and then turned and went, ran back in. I mean, she was in the woods, turned and ran back into deeper cover, never saw her, and that ended my day. That ended our hunt. That ended our firearm season. So, you know, it was a great hunt. Got to see some deer, but that's the way it goes. And here's a guy that's going hunting today. Glenn in Easton, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm well. What's going on?
I sent you a picture last night. Did you see it?
I saw it. Yeah, nice picture. Great.
Oh, my God. We tore them up yesterday afternoon. I mean, it was great.
Yep. Sounds like it. What time do they fly in the morning?
They didn't fly yesterday morning, so we went in the afternoon.
What about, you think they'll go this morning?
I think so. I've already heard them flying already.
Yeah.
Cloud cover, they didn't see any moon last night, so hopefully, I don't know, see what their pattern is. The weather could be an issue, who knows.
They're geese. How do you know?
I know. Exactly. I read one time, it says one does not hunt geese. One sits and waits for them to fly next to you, and that's it.
Perfect. So, perfect.
Yeah, it's true. It's everything. Like, I get it when you're out in Montana and you're walking from ridgetop to ridgetop. That's, I mean, it's stalking.
Right.
But what we do here is we just sit and wait. They show up or they don't.
Exactly right. Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's like, why aren't we over there? That's where they are. Why aren't we over there? You know, how can we get permission to hunt over there where they're flying?
Yeah.
You know, and then it all turns around and something happens and you're happy. You know, so
when it's on, it's on.
It's on, it's on. When you're on the X, you're on the X. You know, so indeed,
well, weather sure helps. I have to say that.
That's true. Cloudy weather, overcast weather, a little bit of wind. You know, it cleared up there Wednesday. We were a little worried about it. It had rained the night before, and the clouds all went away. The wind was right. We had the southwest wind, but the clouds started coming in. The wind picked up a little bit. The decoys dried out. You know, the shine went off of them, and we took our birds and went home. That was it. So it was all good.
What's the best silhouette that you've seen these new ones out that are...
Well, I like the real geese, and I didn't Google that company in Westminster. I can't remember the name of it. Hang on a minute. Let me see if I can.
I bought a dozen of the Dive Bomb, and they're actually pretty nice.
Dive Bomb. Never heard of them.
Yeah, check them out. They're not bad decoys. And then I've got some Big Owls. I have some. Then we have opposite.
I've heard of the Big Owl.
Yeah, and we've got homemade silhouettes, which are just as good as anything else you can use. And you know.
Oh yeah.
Tommy Leg up in Rock Hall. I've got some of his, and they're great. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we have all sorts out there. So that's usually the best in the snow, I think, is the silhouettes.
Okay.
But,
well, we had I think 5 or 6 dozen of these Corplast decoys. You know, like the political signs on the wire.
Yeah,
and they work great. They work great, and I know they're out of Westminster, and I'm just trying to find them. What they're called?
Well, Alan, I'm going to have to get off the phone because I got.
Indeed, you go enjoy your day out there. Okay.
You too, buddy.
Have All right, man. Thank you very much. Talk to you soon. Bye bye. There goes Glenn. He's going out goose hunting today. Real Grief, Avery, White Rock, Redhead. Can't tell you. Maybe somebody knows the company out of Westminster and can call us and tell us about that. So we'll figure it out. I'll try to find it. All right. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Like to hear your hunting experience if you're headed out there today. You know, we're not, if you're archery hunting, that's one thing. If you're goose hunting, duck hunting, how you doing? How about snow geese? What are you doing with that? Anybody out there doing the snow geese? We know they're hit or miss on the snow geese, and we're going to try and get a trip or two in before the end of the year. Talked at length about the conservation season last week. We're gearing up for that too. So, that is what we need to do. What about eating geese or eating ducks? What's your favorite recipe? I had some goose this week. Uncle Dale from Easton basically tells me that you take chicken stock and gravy, chicken gravy, and just put your goose breast, you know, have your goose breast all brined and cleaned and everything, and put your goose breast in there and just let it go for a few hours. And it does make goose very tender, very delicious. I take a seasoning of some kind, some kind of meat seasoning, and I put it on a paper plate. I pat my goose on it both sides, make sure it's well coated, and then put it in the crock pot. And I substitute chicken gravy. I substitute mushroom gravy for chicken gravy. And I ate a couple of those breasts this week, and they were absolutely delicious. How do you like your geese? Now, these are breasts now, and I mean, I've never figured out how to cook a whole goose. Really haven't. So maybe somebody can email me some tips on that. I know they're very dry. You can't cook them real long. You got to make sure they're in a cooking bag or something. We tried a couple years ago and just were not happy with the results. So, but maybe you love it. Maybe you figured out a way to do it. So, all right. There's Marty in Centerville. Let's talk to Marty here in a minute. Marty, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm a female.
Okay, ma'am. How are you, Marty?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. What's up?
We have a little white and brown and black deer.
Right.
He almost looks like one of our goats.
Yep.
I mean, he's not ours, but he comes around.
Right.
And I want to keep him around to keep the hunters from killing him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my family, all of them, are avid hunters of deer.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want this little one hurt.
Right. Well, how do you keep it on your property?
No, I don't want to keep it on the property. I just want to keep him located near us because people don't hunt right there.
Ah, well, the only thing I can tell you this time of year is boy, if you would have been prepared for it, a nice food plot would have kept him close by.
I
mean, you can put a corn feeder out if you want, but don't overfeed him with corn this time of year because their stomachs aren't meant for it.
Right.
You can feed them too much corn and they can basically, they can get a weakened system and, you know, it's not good for them this time of year. Corn is not good for them this time of year. I mean, if you want to give them a little bit, that's fine to kind of keep them close by.
Uh-huh.
But, I wouldn't overload them with corn. I can't remember the name of the weakness that they get, but I'll try and remember it. And talk about
it. Somebody told me apples, too.
Apples are good. Apples are good. They'll like those apples. But, you know, they're feeding on browse right now. But, Mark, let me tell you what you've got there. You've got a deer that's called a piebald, P-I-E-B-A-L-D, okay?
Uh-huh.
And you're seeing the white because an albino gene is coming through in the breeding, okay? Albinism, uh-huh. you know, an animal with no pigment in its skin.
Right.
And no pigment in its fur. Now this is a piebald, which means it's kind of mixed. But what it is it's a sign of overbreeding, of inbreeding in the deer herd.
Oh, really?
Okay. And the albino gene is a regressive gene. It's not a good thing to have in your deer herd. And your little deer that you have, if you watch it, it may have arthritic legs. Its jaw on the bottom may be undershot. If it's not afraid of you, you clap your hands and it doesn't pay attention, it could be deaf. Likely it's going to be sterile. The survival rate is not real long. Now, some of them, I mean, I've seen some very robust albino bucks and piebald bucks and, you know, some full-grown piebald does and that type of thing. But you just got to be careful and watch this thing. You know, hunting season's almost at an end. The firearm season is over, so we're only into bow hunting right now. So if you can keep it around till the end of January, you'll be all right. But you'll have to see how it goes and how it grows. It may not survive the winter.
Well, she's been there a couple of years.
Oh, well, okay, a couple of years then she is a survivor. You said little. I was assuming it was a fawn.
Oh no, she's smaller than. The rest of
that's also typical. Yeah, stunted growth. Yep, exactly. So
just try to put not much corn, put some apples.
I wouldn't put any corn, actually. If you got some apples or some sweet potatoes or something like that, toss them out there.
Sweet potatoes?
Sweet potatoes will work, yep. Yep. Any kind of greens, you know.
What about goat feed?
You can try it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, if you got the nutrition in it, you can try it. Yeah, just not pure corn.
Okay, all right, that's wonderful, because that's what I did. I put pure corn out.
Yep.
No, all right.
No, put some pellets out or put something else out there rather than the pure corn. I mean, she'll eat it, no question about it. I mean, she's drawn to it. I'm sure you got other deer feeding with her.
Yeah, there's a group of them that come through there. And
yeah. Yep.
Then they go on the hunting property.
Uh-huh, I got you.
All right. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Marty. Appreciate the call.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Happy New Year. And John in North Carolina. Good morning, John. How are you, brother?
I'm doing well. This is really a belated tip. You mentioned last week about tips for staying warm.
Yes.
My wife made me a garment. You get some fleece.
Okay.
And sew it up so it's a tube about 18 inches long.
Okay.
With a slight taper so that you can put, so you can double it up.
Okay.
Then it then goes in the rest of it. And it scrunches down on your neck as a gaiter.
Oh.
And it's not a high fashion because it'll get all scrunchy. You look like a turtle. You've got a turtleneck.
Oh, good.
But it's so thick and so warm, you will never, ever have a cold neck anymore.
Robin has what's called an infinity scarf. Have you ever seen one of those?
No, I have no idea.
An infinity scarf is basically a loop of yarn. And to put it on, it has no loose ends. You put it on and loop it back over your head. You know, the infinity symbols are like a figure eight.
Uh-huh.
Well, they call this an infinity because, you know, you put it on, you turn it, and you flip it back over your head. And it also has the same effect. It fills up that gap between your chin and your chest. And, you know, I said, you got to get me one of those in camo. And she actually went online and looked for it. But I like your idea even better. I mean, it's a neck gaiter that's, you know, it's big enough to fit over your head, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's basically a long tapered tube.
Right.
And you fold it one side, you know, one in the other, so it's double layered. And then it all scrunches up. And start large, you can always make it.
Yeah. If you have a big head, right.
I don't want that thing real tight.
You got it.
I bring it up over my chin. And
right. All right. You got it.
I haven't had a cold neck since.
Perfect. Thanks, John.
All right, well, take care.
Happy New Year. See ya. Bye-bye.
Happy New Year.
Bye-bye. There he goes. And Colleen, one more caller before the break. How are you, Colleen? What's up?
Hey, Alan, I'm good. I'm not a hunter, but my granddaughter goes with a guy who loves hunting.
Okay.
I understand you have a magazine.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to know how to get that magazine and for him.
All right. Do you have email, Colleen?
No, hon, I don't.
You don't. Okay. Where does he live?
Pasadena, Maryland.
Mm, okay. I'll tell you what.
Can you do it online?
You can read it online. It's called Maryland Hunting Quarterly, and that's all one word online, MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com.
Okay.
And then any of the advertisers nearby will have it.
How about, you know, it's a little place on Mountain Road that you always mention.
Yeah, occasionally he'll have it in there. That's right. But he's not open right now.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay, well, we'll try and get that.
All right, mdhuntingquarterly.com.
Okay, Alan, thank you.
Thanks, Colleen. Uh-huh, bye-bye.
Bye.
There she goes. Oh, my. Well, Clyde Sport Shop is gearing up for fishing season. They've got everything you could need, want, or imagine for fishing. Live bait, new line, all the lures, all the rods, all the reels, for rockfish, for trout, for bass, for panfish, for perch. They've got it all. Right there at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. And to find out the latest fishing report, call 410-247-3474. That's 410-247-FISH for Clyde Sport Shop. And if you're into hunting, they got all that stuff too. 410-242-6108, ClydeSports.com online. Hey, it's time for the Great American Outdoor Show, February 4th through the 12th, 2017. Well, we know that. In Harrisburg, the world's largest consumer outdoor show, 9-day events celebrating hunting, fishing, and the outdoor traditions. Exhibitors and events that span over 650,000 square feet with 1,100 exhibitors. You'll find everything you need to enjoy the outdoors. And the NRA Country Concert at the Great American Outdoor features Dustin Lynch and Granger Smith with special guest Tara Thompson. And that's on Saturday, February 11th. Doors open at 6:30. For more details on the world's largest outdoor show and to get your tickets, visit greatamericanoutdoorshow.org. Great American outdoorshow.org. Attention gun owners, hunters, and shooters. Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom. Easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing. 240-347-4906. Above precision, beyond accurate. And while you're at Hafer's Gunsmithing, see a redneck blind on display. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose redneck blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blinds, and hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland redneck blinds dealer. Check the redneck blinds website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Thanks for the warning. All right, well, that concludes this hour of the Outdoors and Radio Show. We assume the music is going to be, well, there it is. How about that? All right. Folks, listen, Blazing Camo Day, February 9th, the Maryland Hunting Coalition Dinner and Benefit, March 25th. All that's available on the Maryland Hunting Coalition website, mdhuntingcoalition.org. We're looking forward to meeting and greeting new people this year, so check it out.